As I mentioned a moment ago, we're celebrating our 23rd birthday today. And, you know, a lot of things change in 23 years. If you just think about the changes that have occurred in your life, if you go back to 1987, just for a second in your minds, and you think about what's changed in those 23 years. Some of you in those past 23 years have gotten married. Some of you in those past 23 years have had children, grandchildren, maybe moved to a new house, maybe got a new job, maybe you retired. Amen. We've had many people that we love go to heaven in the past 23 years. Some of us have gained a few pounds, lost a few pounds, lost some hair. A lot of changes occur in 23 years. Same thing is true in a church. A lot of things change in the life of a church in 23 years. Congregation changes. People come, people go. I praise God for the folks that are still here that were around 23 years ago. We have several of our charter members that are still here from 1987. Have had different Sunday school teachers over the years, different song leaders, different piano players. Had one other preacher in those 23 years. I left for about 16 months, but other than that, the preacher hasn't changed. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. Yeah, Brother Darrell, you've changed. You're a little bit bigger in the middle, a little balder on the top. But there's some things that haven't changed in those 23 years about our church and about your preacher that I want to mention this morning as I preach on the subject. And by the way, I preach this message every now and then on Founders Day. I mean, if you go back and look at on the website, you'll probably see a message entitled, 5 years old and these things haven't changed. 11 years old and these things haven't changed. 21 years old and these things haven't changed. And I had a different sermon I was going to preach this morning, but last night I got something on an email that just sort of the Lord used to direct me back to this sermon. And so this morning I preach on the subject, 23 years old and these things haven't changed. I want to mention six things. Number one, in the past 23 years, God hasn't changed. We read from the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 6, where the Bible says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." And the God that 23 years ago that we worshiped, that we felt was leading us to start this church, has not changed. He is still omnipotent. He is still omnipresent. He is still omniscient. And he hasn't changed one bit. Now, there's again, like I mentioned, there's a lot of things in this world that have changed. Things are different than they were 23 years ago in a lot of different areas. But I want you to know this morning that if you knew God 23 years ago, if you knew him, then you know the same God today that you did 23 years ago. In the book of Hebrews, it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there's a little chorus that goes, yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name, glory to his name, glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. And our God hasn't changed in the past 23 years. Do you know that he still loves you just as much as he did, if not more? And I don't think there can be more because God's love is a perfect love. But he loves us the same amount today that he did 23 years ago. His love has not changed. It says in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verse 3, "The Lord hath appeared of old, saying unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, And the love that our God has for us, it didn't start 23 years ago. It started before the earth was created. As I mentioned in Sunday school, none of us are here by accident. We are all here by the plan of God. And in God's plan, it was included in God's plan for him to love each one of us. And so he loves us. And that love has not changed. John 3:16 is just as true today as it was 23 years ago. For God so loved the world. And I always like to put my name in that verse. For God so loved me. For God so loved Daryl Manning. And you can put your name in that verse. I better not pull on those ropes too much. We might have a catastrophe up here. Might have a ghost in addition to the Holy Ghost. Somebody covered with a sheet. But listen, his love has not changed. His love for us has remained steadfast. Now, we may understand. I'll tell you what, I know a little bit more about God's love today than I did 23 years ago. I don't understand it completely. I think, you know, there's still a lot that I have to learn about how much God loves me. But some of the trials and the valleys and the tests that we have been through the last 23 years has opened my eyes to understand a little bit more about how much God loves us. And his love for us has not changed. Number two, his word has not changed. This church started in February of 1987. I preached for the first time here in April of 1987. And the second sermon I preached centered on this book. And I told the folks, and this before they even asked me, and by the way, if you haven't heard the story about how I first came here, I was working with a man by the name of Walt Smith. And Walt came up to me one day at work and said, hey, we're starting a church up in Clio. And I had served as Walt's interim pastor over at Center Road Baptist Church. And Walt came up to me and said, hey, can you just come over and preach for us for the summer of 1987? Help us get started, and we'll get a good start. So I said, okay, I'll come over and preach for you for the summer of 1987. And basically, here it is 23 years later, and here I'm still here. Yeah, that's right. It hadn't changed. But the second sermon I preached on a Sunday night, I preached about this book. And I reminded the folks back then, like I remind you this morning, like I've reminded you many times down through the years, I believe this book is the Word of God. Not just contains the Word of God, not just contains the thoughts of God. I believe that this book is the Word of God. I believe that it was inspired as it was written in the original tongues. I believe that we, in the King James Bible, we have the preserved Word of God the way that God wants us to have. Now, I've never preached from any other Bible than this Bible in the past 23 years. I've never used a different translation, and I was thinking last night, I wonder how many different translations of the Bible or how many different versions of the Bible have been published in the last 23 years. Probably hundreds. Probably hundreds. And, you know, I've never read advertisement for a new Bible that takes me away from this one. I've had people tell me, well, I like to use a different translation because I can understand it better. And I'll be honest with you, there are some places in here that I have a tough time understanding. But I found that if I study and if I talk to the one who wrote it, that he'll tell me what he wants me to know from this book right here. Now, I don't mean to offend anybody this morning, but I've said it before. You know, go ahead and use a different translation, but don't call it a Bible. Call it a commentary. It's what some other guy thinks that the Bible says. Why would I read what some other guy thinks what the Bible says when I can read what God said? Why would I want to go and read what some man has to think that the Word of God says when I can read the very Word of God? So I'm not going to move off this book. For the past 23 years, we've used this book, and as long as you let me stay your pastor, we're going to keep using this book. We're not going to change. We're going to stick with it. So the Word of God has not changed. Number three, God's promise to this church hasn't changed. 23 years ago, we claimed a promise that God made when Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 18, I will build my church. He said, I'm going to build my church. And I'll remind you this morning that this church does not belong to us. Okay? It doesn't belong to the pastor. It doesn't belong to the deacons. It doesn't belong to the Southern Baptist Convention. It doesn't belong to any human being. This church belongs to Jesus Christ. It is His church. Now, it's the Sunday school lesson goes along right with this point that I want to make. This church has been attacked by Satan. There have been times down through our history that Satan marshaled an attack against us. Sometimes that attack came from the outside. Sometimes it came from the inside. Sometimes we brought it on ourselves because we got apathetic about things. And there have been times when I have, as your pastor, worried, are we going to make it? Are we going to survive? Or are we going to have to do like a lot of churches in our day that have called off their services on Wednesday night and called off their services on Sunday night and finally just went ahead and closed the door of their church? And there have been times that I've spent much time on my knees in prayer because that's what I thought was going to happen to us. But I'll be honest with you. I have a God who reminded me every one of those times. He said, hey, look, I'm not done with you yet. I'm not done with that place up there called Fellowship Baptist Church. I still have something for you to do. And yeah, Satan may be attacking and he may be coming after you, but the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. He may think that he's winning, but he's not winning. He will not win. You just stay in this book. You stay true. Keep preaching the gospel, and the church will go on. And I want you to know something. That promise has not changed. Now, there's a lot of forces in the world that still may come after us. Because, and I'll be honest with you, I'm expecting an attack from Satan. I am. I'm expecting something to happen. The last few months, I've spent much time in prayer for our church because I know what happens when God starts to bless. Satan rears his ugly head and starts to attack. It's the way it always works. But Jesus promised. He said, no, look, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He said, look, Satan is not going to get his way. He's not going to get his will. If you keep honoring me and staying in this book and preaching his word, the gates of hell will not prevail against you. And that promise has not changed. It's still as true today as it was 23 years ago when a small group of people got together and decided to form this church. Number four. God's commission to this church has not changed. The commission that he gave us 23 years ago is still the one that we march to today. He said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He said in John chapter 15, verse 16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, Go ye and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. The commission that God gave this church 23 years ago is the same commission that we march to today. To go into our community, into our surrounding, and then into the world to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, teaching them what has been taught to us, preaching to them what has been preached to us, baptizing them just like we were baptized and telling them about how they can get to heaven. That's the commission. That's the job. That's what he left us to do. And this church has not taken its eye off that commission for the past 23 years. We will not become a social club. We will not be just become a part of the community. We will be a lighthouse, as was sung about a moment ago. We will be a lighthouse that holds up the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hasn't changed, and it won't change. Number five, our fellowship hasn't changed. This church is well named. I've never seen a group of people over the years that likes to fellowship as much as this one. You saw it this morning. And it's been true down through the years. We say we're going to take a verse and we're going to shake hands. And three or four verses later, the song leader has to get up and say, okay, let's start singing again. We love to fellowship. We love to eat at our fellowships. We'll eat at a drop of the hat. One of our mottos could be, you feed them, they will come. I had a bunch of people ask me today, said, preacher, aren't we having dinner today? It's our anniversary, we usually have dinner. And I had to tell them, we don't have room. We just don't have room. Can't get everybody in. I mean, we're going to have to wait till the summertime so we can set up the tent to have our eating meetings and get everybody in. But this group of people loves to fellowship. Acts chapter 2, verse 46, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, that eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Fellowship. Fellowship. And then number six, and this is where I want to dwell for a few minutes. Our message has not changed. Our message has not changed. 23 years ago, first sermon that I preached in April, and those that had preached before me, before I came, had preached the same message. Preach this. Everybody's a sinner. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we're all sinners. Every single one of us. Many, many children in 23 years of this church have talked to their Sunday school teacher or to their junior church leader or to their preacher and have been told that they were sinners. Sometimes the little kids don't understand what sin is, and you have to illustrate it for them. But if you talk to them, they can understand that sin is simply disobeying God. It's not doing something that God told you to do or doing something that God told you not to do. God said, don't lie, so a lie makes you a sinner. God says, obey your parents, and so disobedience to parents makes you a sinner. And every little child that's come in through these doors, either in Sunday school or in junior church, or if they sit here in the auditorium, have heard the same message. I mean, even in the nurseries, they're sinners. They're sinners. And we're all sinners. And there's a penalty for that sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And we've tried to explain over the years that it doesn't mean physical death. It means spiritual death. It means being separated from God because of our sin. Just like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden were separated from God when they sinned, they were kicked out of the garden. So God can't stand to be around sin even today. And so as sinners, we're under the condemnation of God, the judgment of God, to be separated from him. But the good news is that he loved us so much that even though we couldn't do anything to get to him, he did something to get to us. He sent his son, Jesus, and he came born of a virgin, lived among us for 33 some years, tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. John the Baptist introduced him as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And Jesus went to a cross, and before he hung on that cross, or as he hung on that cross, God took every one of our sins, every one of mine, and every one of yours, and laid those sins on Christ. And when Christ died on Calvary, he paid the price for every one of those sins. Every single one of them. You say, preacher, you don't even know very much about me. And there are some people in the room that's true. I don't know much about you. I don't know what kind of life you've lived. I don't know what kind of sins that you've committed. But I know this. I know that Jesus took every one of them, every single one of them, on himself. God, the Bible says, God hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Every single one of us, every single one of our sins were laid on Jesus Christ. And on the cross, he suffered what we deserved. He suffered our separation from God. He suffered our hell. And so he's able to offer to every single one of us life. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. With the heart man believeth, with the mouth confession is made. And God offers to every single one of us the gift of salvation. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, all you got to do is ask. You have to believe. You know, the Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe on him, that he was the Son of God, that he did take all your sins, and that he died for every single one of them. And that if you'll come to him, he'll forgive you of that sin, wipe them off your record, and make you right with God. And for the past 23 years, one way or another, maybe it was the main theme of the message, maybe it was something that was said at the end of the message, but for 23 years, that message has been the same. It hasn't changed, and it won't change. Because God won't change it. We will not wake up a year from now or 2 months from now and discover that there's a different way to heaven. Because there's not. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I was talking to somebody yesterday afternoon, and I just asked him the question. I said, tell me how to get to heaven. Tell me how to get to heaven. And 30 minutes later, he was still telling me. He was still telling me. And there's a lot of things that he added on to how to get to heaven that I finally told him, I said, I don't know where you get that because it's not in the Bible that I read. I mean, he mentioned good works. And I thought to myself, man, if I had to live my life pleasing to God every moment to keep my salvation, I wouldn't make it. I wouldn't make it. I mean, I try to live the way God wants me to, but man, if my getting to heaven depended on me, it would not be life everlasting. It would not be eternal life. I would lose it. Baptism was a part of it. And I wanted to say to him, well, what about the thief on the cross? Didn't he go to heaven? He wasn't baptized. What about all those people that never get baptized before they die? They get saved. And I don't have time to tell you the rest of it. But I thought to myself, I thought about the little boys that I sat beside right up here on this front row and told them about Jesus. I can't imagine taking a half an hour. Some of you have been sitting there with me when I've talked to them about Jesus. You know, if you don't get them in 5 or 10 minutes, you're not going to get them because they're going to lose interest. If it took me a half an hour to tell somebody how to get to heaven, there's a lot of little boys and girls in this church that would never have been saved. There's only one thing you need to do to get saved, and that's to come to Christ and ask him to save you. That's it. That's it. Nothing else. And the message has been the same and will be the same. And I pray will always be the message that's preached from this pulpit. that Jesus is the only way to heaven. You come to him, you can be saved. If you ignore him, you're going to spend eternity in hell. And so let me ask you this morning, as we celebrate our 23rd birthday, if you're here and you're not saved, I can't think of a better day than today to come and ask Jesus to be your Savior. I can't think of a better time than this time right now to come and get things right between you and your God. Not tomorrow, not the next day, but right now. And I know we have many folks that are visiting with us this morning. You say, and again, I want you to understand, I'm not asking you to become a Baptist. I think being a Baptist is a pretty good thing. I'm not asking you to become a Baptist. I'm not asking you to join this church, although I think belonging to a church like this is a good thing. And if God's directed you to come to this church, you ought to go ahead and join up. But I'm not even asking you to do that this morning. What I'm asking you to do is don't leave this place without knowing for sure that you're part of the family of God. And the only way you can do that is to come to Christ, is to come to him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for the simplicity of that message, that Jesus paid it all, and all we have to do is come to him. And so I pray for those that are here this morning that don't know him. I pray, Father, that you would speak to them. Holy Spirit, that you would woo them to the Savior, that they would come and they would make that decision and ask Jesus to be their Savior. And then, Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here. Speak to our hearts. Thank you for giving us a church like this. Help us to protect it. Help us to put a circle of prayer around it. Father, we claim the promise that Jesus made that Satan won't destroy it. And so I pray you'll help us to be all that we need to be. So speak to our hearts. Help us to obey what you tell us this morning. And we'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.